Hello, friends, and welcome to the Optimized Advisor Podcast, where we focus on optimizing the well-being and best practices of insurance and financial professionals today. On this show, our objective is to help you optimize your life, optimize your profession, and learn from other optimized advisors. I'm your host, Scott Heinola. We hope you enjoy the show.
Annie Dietrich, AC Social Designs. It's good to have you back in the studio again.
Thank you for having me.
What are you up to this week?
Ooh, I'm busy.
You're in town.
I'm in town.
I've been visiting us on spring break.
Been hanging out over in the beautiful part.
Casa Heinola.
Yeah, I was going to say beautiful part of Texas that I love to go to.
Flower Mound, where we literally have one mound and you can see Oklahoma.
And I went to Oklahoma.
You did?
Ventured over there for 24 hours and came back and...
It's a little bit of a cool start, but the weather's literally cold. But here we are. It's beautiful. Spring is in the air. The rest of your trip looks amazing. So glad to have you.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
And thank you for taking some time in the studio with us to talk a little social media.
Oh, I love talking social.
I know you do. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. So first and foremost, the last time we had you on was episode 88. So for those who are interested, they go back to that. It was talking about social media and artificial intelligence and kind of how those two worlds are colliding. Fast forward today, we're really going to talk about social media, maybe some developments that have occurred in the business, incredibly fast pace, right?
Totally.
Evolution is constant. So there's plenty to get caught up on, but also to circle back on specifically honing in on financial advisors and how they should consider the utilization of social media and things that they could be doing specifically to really help empower their brand and their recognition within their community at large. So, but before we do that, can you just talk a little bit about you, your business, elaborate a little bit on your biography and just kind of who you are and what you do?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Annie with AC Social. And for the most part, I primarily support and manage people with their social media platforms. You would consider that like a management service. But we've really expanded in the last couple of years on more of a aggressive social marketing profile because of how social media has grown so much. It's no longer this beautiful aesthetic grid. It's more than that. It's keeping up with the algorithm. It's understanding what type of content to post. And a lot of people are just overwhelmed by that. So we provide that service, strategy, and overall social marketing omnipresence is what we like to call it. And we work with all kinds of great small, medium, large businesses. And also in the last probably a year or so, I've really kind of branched out. And we have, I have a team, so I have a lot of help on the account management side for the day-to-day growing. But I want to teach people social media and how they can incorporate it with their business so that they don't, you know, when they're first starting off, I'm just so passionate about teaching people that it's not as complicated as people think it is. They don't have to get super frustrated with it. I just want it to be able to be basic enough that they are like, you know what, this is making a difference for me. It doesn't work for everybody, so maybe I can't coach you. And instead, you're like, just do it. We do that too. So my background is in for several years now, obviously, I really was based off just the management aspect. And what I learned is as social media has grown, you have to have a strategy with social media, much like any other marketing for your business. Social media kind of is the best platform to be nowadays. And so you have to understand how that works from a marketing perspective. So having a strategy is really important. So I learned to strategize and how to do marketing efforts through different platforms. I do want to say that I am very well versed in Facebook and Instagram. So I'm definitely more of a Meta girl. And I'm certified as a Meta account manager for advertising. And I've done all the coursework for that. And I just kind of keep trying to keep up with the trends. There's a lot of people in this industry that are half my age, and I kind of call myself the old lady, but I've developed a cadence, a process that works for our clients, and an overall marketing strategy that we can deliver for them.
Okay, I've taken already like a handful of studious notes. So I'm listening. I've got a bunch of questions that we'll dive into.
Okay.
Let's take it one step at a time. Okay, so Let's start at the beginning.
Yeah.
I'm a financial advisor. Not sure whether or not social media is a good fit for me. I'm really not clear as to why I should be in social media, or if I am. And then also questioning, you know, how is this benefiting me? Am I doing things right? So let's kind of take that one step at a time. The beginning of this is, if I'm an advisor, why should I consider social media as a part of my business development marketing strategy?
Yeah. So I think a lot of people have a challenge with it. Let's back up even further than that. You have a personal Instagram. I can't even keep up with this. Why am I going to start this? Mm-hmm. That is a big undertaking task, and a lot of people find that daunting. It's not that complicated. In fact, nowadays, it's a lot easier to operate. And once you learn one tool, it kind of is all in one place. Before, you used to have to jump and use all kinds of different apps and things like that. So social media is where every business, everybody who's promoting a product, if you're an expert and you sell a service, if you're a financial advisor, if you want to be seen and known, you need to be on social media.
Okay, you made something that you just glossed right over as an expert that probably to the layman is like, whoa, wait, time out. And it's the part of, because I would imagine if I'm an individual advisor and I'm not running a firm per se,
right,
then I'm just going to tap into my individual Instagram or my individual Facebook, and that becomes the platform that I'm using to market myself as an advisor versus creating
starting one just.
So can you start there of saying, okay, when and why would I consider or not using individual profile versus the, let's call it the best practice or correct way of like, okay, from a business perspective, as an advisor, not Scott Heinola as a person, as a human being,
right?
What should I be doing?
Well, I think you should, it depends. There's two types of people. There's somebody who's going to share themselves as an expert, but also dabble in their personal lifestyle so that you kind of create this credibility as a person. So that's going to be based on what type of clientele you're trying to bring in. So if it was you, Scott, you know, we would decide, is the strategy for them to sell yourself and then dabble in your business, or is it to sell your business and then dabble in your personal?
Okay, so let's agree to one first very important thing.
Perfect.
Number one, as an advisor, one of the prerequisites of reasons why I would be on social media is so that people can develop a personal connection with me.
Right.
So that has to be layered in.
Well, and it's also the way the algorithm works these days.
Okay.
But yes, so
your clients, your prospects, at the end of the day, they want to know who you, Mr. Advisor, are. Not that it dominates all of your content, but you absolutely need to sprinkle in, layer in your personal, your pleasures in life, your hobbies, your activities,
your family,
your beliefs, maybe not political or religious, but health and wellness or recipes, things like
what
that,
makes you human and the person that you are professionally.
What's your take on the statement people have of social media? One of the most beautiful things about it is it allows you to create an image of whoever you want to be versus being genuine.
So that's actually,
I have a strong opinion. I want to hear what you
want. Yeah. So I actually think that you need to be raw and real in social these days.
Amen.
Or else you are not authentic, and we know when you're fake.
Correct.
And a lot of those fake influential people, they're dead these days. This is not something that we're seeing. Even influencers themselves, it's drastically changed. We know when someone's getting paid to promote a product, promote a service, no one authentically connects with that.
Be genuine, be real, right? Be authentic, period. It's That's okay. Also a prerequisite.
It's okay if it's not perfect too. Like, social doesn't have to be perfect at all anymore. Like I said, when I started in this industry, your grid had to have this graphic, branded illustration to it. It can be a hot mess and you can be very successful.
Interesting.
Very.
So just do it. Basically, the platforms are saying, we want you to be real. We want you to put video out there. We want you to regularly put content out there. It doesn't need to be perfect. Be consistent.
Right.
Be genuine.
Create credibility as a person and the expert in your space. So if I were to be a financial advisor today, I would create an account. I would talk about my expertise, but I would also share like my life as a mom or in my 40s. Those things are people. things that people connect with. Mm-hmm. And then those people, you know, eventually will start to ask you questions about, well, hey, you know, I was thinking I might, you know, I didn't realize you were a financial advisor. Like, tell me more. And as you start to give education and you create this community around you in social media, you create these connections where people will reach out to you, mm-hmm. or they'll refer people, which is, I call social marketing kind of like the MLM. Like, mm-hmm. everybody's talking and sharing. And I'm like the first one who will always go on and be like, I just tried this drink. It's incredible. Everybody run and go buy it at the grocery mm-hmm. store. Mm-hmm. I love sharing. That's how I got into this, right? Like, we would go on trips with my best friends, and one of my girlfriends would be like, just follow her. She posts everything. Mm-hmm. but people like that. People like to be entertained, and that's how we find out and try things. Right. So if I were to create a platform today, I would create it about my business and my life. So like you said, there's a really good balance, and that's based off the strategy that you develop. And let's just say you're going to educate as a financial advisor, you're going to promote as a financial advisor, but you're going to entertain as a person. And so that's the type of content. Because to be honest, what entertaining, you know, factor can you come from a financial advisor? I think a lot of people struggled with that when the social media algorithm really shifted to these impressionable types of content. And it's like, well, we can't make a ton of memes about it. Like, some of this stuff's serious.
Right.
So even when you're educating, you know, you're showing who you are. I might engage with you because I find what you're talking about really interesting. But I also know that you have these two boys and you just took them on a hunting trip. And I'm like, this guy's rad. I want to learn more and look at what he's teaching me. So I feel like as a financial advisor, you absolutely can combine the two. Now, if there's a big red, wait a second, I don't like to share my life, you will not be successful.
Yeah. So that would be a very good reason, because that's the other part of this. Like, it's like any marketing strategy, it's not for everybody.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So as I'm taking a very clear look in the mirror and doing a proper assessment, one of the things that you would one of the immediate deciding factors is, am I committed and okay with putting myself out there, being honest, being vulnerable, recording video? Because that's a requirement.
Right.
You cannot be successful in social media today mm-hmm. without video content creation that's organic.
A 100%.
Okay. So, like, those are the first things. Are
and
you willing to do
ABC?
If the answer is no, I'm just not. Okay, not
this
for you.
This isn't for you.
Now, let me say, does that mean that you should completely eliminate and not be on social media? I think the answer to that probably no. Just understand now what the expected outcomes are going to be.
Right. You could join groups and private groups and pages like through Facebook and stuff, but that's definitely not going to like spearhead you forward by any means.
Right.
Like, for you to show up and be on social, and it's very daunting. There's a lot of people who are like, I don't do that. There's a lot of negativity around that. And my advice to that is, you're not the only one that feels that way. And we call a piece of content talking head, and we'll get into that. We'll go back to that because that's very important, especially as a financial advisor. But for me, when I speak about social media on my platform, I get a handful of people who engage with me during that time. But when I share like a point of view or something that like, you guys, I struggle with getting on stories and talking to you because it's just, I don't feel like myself, but I know I need to do it. And everyone's always like, you're so good at it.
Yeah.
So don't talk yourself out of it.
Right.
And you could practice, like you could be in your car and you could just put the camera up and just talk into it. Doesn't mean you know you need to post it, or while you're putting on your makeup or getting ready in the morning, pop your camera up, turn it around, face it towards you and just talk into it. Practice, you know, and there's a lot of people who don't, you know, realize that like just having those conversations, somebody else is going to find that valuable.
Right. Yeah. I want to set a pin in video and come back to that.
Okay.
And specifically where and how you help advisors who are just going to be super green. They're raw. They're not polished. They're nervous. You know, they're not comfortable, all the things. Right. And how we kind of help them, you specifically get them through that and doing some basic video production and some of those resources to help them get beyond the first hurdle. Yeah, it can be very much so.
Yeah.
I want to off ramp for a moment.
Okay.
Because I know we're going to come back to kind of the top five things.
Okay.
We are.
Okay.
But let's talk about a podcast.
Okay.
To me, one of the very, if I am going to be an advisor and I want to create a presence at large, mm-hmm. it's the things that we're going to cover, initially the stuff we just talked about, like these are things that you've got to commit to, you've got to be willing to do. I think a podcast is also a very important consideration for advisors to adopt and have. So what does that mean? Does that mean that you have to develop this podcast that has, you know, multiple thousand investment and you're going all in on the podcast production? No. But you should start somewhere. It can be just you commenting about what it is that you believe in your business. Does not have to be investments. It can be any facet of the financial planning process. And that's a great place to start. Better yet, you're probably better off also including some guests. Well, from an advisor's perspective, who would be a good guest to consider? Existing clients, people who love me, people who know me, people who can talk about what it is that our relationship has been.
Exactly.
Maybe in their business. Many of my clients are going to be really, really interesting people with really interesting careers that there's a lot of information that could be shared. Beyond that, I would say a podcast is a very, very important medium for an advisor to be able to get their message out, their word out, beyond one meeting or one conversation or even one seminar at a time.
Right.
It's a no-brainer. It also is a medium. So think about how much content is created.
I was just going to say that. That's my favorite thing about a podcast.
That you then can take and do what with?
Right. No, what, put it what out there you and you, do with? You would break it up into key points, topics, things that you can educate off of. You know, think of some of the top podcasters that you might watch on social media yourself. You see them, they're taking 15 to 30 second clips from the actual recording and they're using that as their content. That probably means that maybe they'll go, if they're engaged and captivated by that, they're going to go listen to the whole episode, but they probably won't. And who knows? It just depends. But then 3 or 4 days later, you're going to post another clip.
Right.
And there you go. You know, it's actually, I think in the financial industry, especially as an advisor, it's a non-negotiable. Like, even if you set it up in your office and you have a microphone and you were to story tell through, like you're having a podcast and you don't actually even do a podcast, you could use that as your content.
Right.
You know, take a list of questions that your, you know, customers, your typical customer is going to ask you. That's the type of content that everybody wants to know. It's usually... anytime, I always say to people, like when you're in business, anytime that somebody asks you a question in your industry, write that down. And then the next day, film it. Or in that moment, film it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great example, an idea of like, just have some basic equipment set up for when that idea strikes you.
Yeah.
Record it. Or set it aside and record it at the end of the day or first thing in the morning. Or when you've worked with a client and there was a situation, an instance, a case study, a something that you can say, this is good material, so to speak. I'm going to speak to this.
Well, there's so many other people that are asking that same question. And if you can reach them all over through your social, it's a great piece of educational content.
The other thing, let's use a recent case study of an advisor, a female advisor, not by name, but where you've begun to work with her and her vision. And I'll start with kind of the end of mine. Maybe you can kind of unpack a little bit of the journey. For example, the other thing that I think can come from social media is an example. I'm an advisor. I deal with investments. All my clients know and are familiar with me in the context of investments, financial planning. However, they really don't think of me as a risk management advisor, and i.e. an insurance solution. They never think of me of coming to me for if insurance sales or for I'm concerned. My parents are in long-term care and now I need long-term care. What a great way to, I would say, like just subliminally make awareness about other things that you do and can do as an advisor. And the reason why that came to mind is because you've recently just helped one of our advisors and all of a sudden she did one or two posts. And next thing you know, a couple people are saying, hey, I didn't know you did X, Y, Z.
Yeah, I had no idea. That was like the first comment she made to me. She was like, well, this is working.
I mean, right out of the gate. Again, I think one of the mistakes you can make is to set these immediate gratification expectations
for
being social media. It's a long play, like many other.
It's a marathon. I always tell people, it's never a sprint. It's a marathon.
Yeah, so you never, that's another thing I would say. Do not take the time to invest in social media if you're expecting immediate leads, immediate gratification. Mm-hmm. No. This is something you're investing in for a marathon, for the long run,
for
your career, and you are going to build a part of your practice around this.
It's like a website in reality. I mean, it's better than a website, but you need it.
It's a great point. Who would get rid of a website?
Right.
Maybe you don't do anything with it, but
right.
You have to have it.
You have to have it because people can find you that way. And 9 times out of 10, I know you. I could come to you and I'd be like, hey, I just went and I took the kids to this great resort. Look it up. Where are you going to look it up? Mm. You're not going to look it up on the web. You're going to look it up on Instagram,
right,
or Facebook. Initially, that's where people go. But going back to support, I think the biggest problem is people don't know where to start.
Right.
And there's a lot of changes that happen so quickly. And because Meta itself owns such a big portion of the way you set up your social for it to run appropriately and you can optimize the most out of your platform, it does need to be done right. And a lot of people go into that blind and they give up.
Or they've done a bunch of work.
Yeah, and they have no idea.
They've done it incorrectly.
Yeah.
So step one, really, in your journey with them is let's conduct a proper audit of where are you at?
Yeah. Today? What do you have going on? What have you created? What haven't you created? And then it kind of helped just guide and set that up. And because the back end of Meta with the business is definitely very tedious, but it's also something that when you go into that platform, there's all kinds of boxes that all of a sudden pop open. And it could be like, this isn't my lane. That's something I can dive in and be like, here we go, check this, make sure you have that. And I've learned that over time and it's still changing. Like there's a lot of, upgrades and glitches and things like that, because I will have to say, especially because you guys have to follow a lot of rules and things like that. Social media has gone through a really big guideline protocol where things that we used to do 5 years ago are against guidelines. And a lot of people don't know this, but their current social media could be shadow banned. It could be something that doesn't even reach anymore. And if you don't update the back end, it can affect your reach overall.
Right.
So you need to know how healthy your account is if you have one that exists. And it's actually really easy to find that out. However, a lot of people don't even know where to look for that or know that that even exists.
And that's where I would go to an expert like you, right?
Yeah.
Like if I'm saying, okay, I'm kind of dabbling in this right now. I might be doing it right. I'm not sure. But I want to invest in
right.
this and do, I'm committed to this.
Right.
One of the first things I should do is conduct a thorough audit. And it's probably best practice to consult an expert
yeah.
who knows the ins and outs, who knows how to work through all these different platforms and systems within the platform.
And figure out what platform you're meant to be on. Like there's a lot out there and a lot of people, really get like, do I do it all? There's so many people are like, do I do it all? And it's like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
You really need to think about who your business is and who your demographic is, because that's going to be your overall audience.
Right.
So choosing what platform to be on, your Gen Z, your Gen X, your millennials, we're all on Instagram. It's mm-hmm. just where we live.
Yeah.
And for such the way the algorithm works, it's definitely something that I think a financial advisor should be on. Should you not be on TikTok? Sure, go ahead, be on TikTok. TikTok is a big risk. There's a lot of political things that are going on with TikTok. Right. The algorithm's nowhere near the same as Instagram's. It's definitely way more entertainment factor, like funny stories and jokes and sending videos of people falling down and, that type of thing. So can you seriously sell a product on TikTok? Absolutely. To my daughter, who's 13, right.
Right.
But as a financial advisor, I'd really steer away from that.
Yeah, but the takeaway there is choose your lane,
right,
and just execute that lane. Don't think that you have to do it all.
Exactly. And honestly, Instagram and Facebook feed off of each other, so it's kind of easy. You can do it. The algorithm works the same. It Meta holds both platforms. You connect them, and you only have to come up with one piece of content. So it's not rocket science.
That's great. Okay, let's get into the five things.
Okay, so
what are these?
So these are five unique social media strategies for a financial advisor. Like,
wonderful.
One of the biggest things that I would say as an advisor you're going to be is You're going to want to know who your competition is, and more so not to compete with, but to be inspired by.
Mm-hmm.
For example, for me, as a social in the social media world, I love watching what other social media people are doing, because we're kind of in a place where everybody's an expert these days. But it's really fun to see like their unique talking points and the way they approach their content and what makes them them. And it kind of makes me think like, how should I go about identifying myself in this platform and in this space? So for, you know, you kind of need to analyze what works, like what is you, what identifies you as the financial advisor, who you are, and what kind of network and community you want to build around that.
But do some due diligence. What you're saying is do some due diligence.
Yeah, follow on
personalities mm-hmm. who have been successful in the space. And maybe it's two sides of the same coin. One is these are examples of things I definitely do not want
right.
to be or
right.
what I want to be portrayed as and look like. And conversely, this is what I would like to emulate. Not to say that I'm going to replicate that person.
Right.
Because I want to be unique and authentic, but it should inspire ideas from a positive perspective.
Absolutely. And even engaging and networking with other advisors is part of building your community. Mm-hmm. And do that with class. Like there's definitely, I mean, there's a ton in the pool. So jump in and be a part of it. You never know. There might be something that you as a financial advisor, like we're talking about niches, like what could you niche down on? Is LTC, maybe that other financial advisor has a group of people he or she can send to you because that's not their cup of tea.
Yeah.
So networking is really, really important. And that's kind of the way the algorithm works these days right now is building communities on your platform.
Well, and as they say, there's very few new ideas.
Totally.
Just borrowed.
Right.
And that's
yeah.
okay.
Yeah, that is. So a social media cadence, that would be number two. Now, this is something that's kind of new because I always explain this to anyone whenever I'm talking to them and they're just going to jump all in on social. The reason why you have a cadence that I found, the reason why I created this theory of cadences is because I found the number one thing when people come to me is, I don't know what to post. I don't know when to post. How often do I post?
Mm-mm.
And then they're already spiraling. It's
right.
like, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's just make it so super easy. And the one thing that the algorithm loves is just like, you know, your regimen, your routine every day. The algorithm loves a regimen, loves a routine. So between, you know, you waking up in the morning, you know, washing your face, it's all about like on Monday, what you're going to post Tuesday. And we're not aggressively posting like back in the day, everybody's like two posts a day. Make sure you get 15 stories up and poll and ask questions. And you're like, it's very easy. Like we can definitely streamline it to work. And if you create this cadence, it's your regimen for your social media. You can plan easily. You can pre-record some of your videos and then you don't feel like it's an extra chore or something that you're like just dropping by the wayside come like the third post because you're like frantic about what it is you're doing.
Okay. So just stay with me. I'm going to give you an analogy.
Okay.
It's the new year,
yep.
January 1.
Yep.
The holidays are behind me. What's most people's thought? It's a new year. What am I going to do?
As far as?
Just not social media, just general like.
Oh, human start being. Over. Create this whole new.
No, fitness, right? So I'm gonna hit the gym.
Create this whole new lifestyle wellness regimen.
Okay, yes. I should have been a little more patient with your answer. Yes, so that's right. And then what do people do? They sign up for a new gym membership and what happens?
10 weeks later, they quit.
Because they went all in and yep. they're going balls to the walls right out of the gate. What happens? They're sore as hell. They're miserable.
They don't push through.
They don't push through. As opposed to what's the number one ingredient for health and wellness? It's consistency.
100%. And so is social.
I used to say this all the time. What's the number one goal here? At when we were doing CrossFit at
yeah.
the gym. Guys, what's the number one goal here? The number one goal here is to be able to show up again tomorrow
right.
and the next day or whatever your sequence cadence is and don't get hurt.
Right.
So don't kill yourself and don't do something that's going to cause an injury
right.
deliberately. Like be smart about it. Go slow. You can always add on more.
Right.
But when you go too hard, too fast, all you're doing is setting yourself up for failure. And that's what a lot of people do using the fitness analogy. It's like, oh, I haven't worked out in a year.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I'm going to go 6 days a week. I'm going to go 2 hours a day. I'm going to be crazy.
You're going to burn yourself out.
You're going to burn yourself out. Done. So quick. That's a recipe for failure. And so what you're saying is social media is no different. Let's start with a plan
that's easy to follow. That doesn't, you know, like I always say, it's not, my analogy is we're not saving lives on social media. Mm-hmm. Like we don't have to go like bring somebody back to life, you know, or we're not in the ER. It's okay if you don't post that day, you know, sticking your cadence is really going to just help you plan better.
Yeah.
A lot of people are like building outlines and weeks out strategies. It actually doesn't work. The social media platform itself, music, trends change way too quickly for 30 days.
So if you were to suggest a specific, let's just take one bite of this apple.
Mm-hmm.
What would that look like?
As far as the cadence goes?
Yeah, or yes, on topic number two here. Like,
so
advisor's like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
Let's not overdo this.
Well, so
what advice do you give?
Kind of sets you up to be successful. It doesn't tell you what you're talking about. It doesn't tell you what trend to do. It doesn't, you know, because in 2 weeks that trend could be completely failed and you go to post it and it flops because it's way too heavy in the algorithm at this point. Mm-hmm. So the cadence really just gives you an outline of you're going to post Monday a 30-second reel and three stories. It just tells you what you're going to do.
Right. Okay.
There's no attachment to the topic. There's, you know, content buckets. There's no, you know, POV. There's no hook that you have to have. You can come up with that when you create your content.
Right.
You know, but if you have this cadence week to week, same thing. Every Monday, 30-second reel. Every Tuesday.
Just block it on your calendar.
Just block it.
With a description high level of what it needs to be. Not the drilling into it's going to be on this topic and these words, like set that aside for a moment. Just commit to a time block and what specific media you're going to provide.
Right.
Okay.
And that's something I give, like this advisor we've been working with, I've given her a cadence.
Okay.
And based off of a beginner. This isn't a cadence that I'd give somebody that, you know, I've been working with for years.
Right.
This is a beginner's cadence so I can set them up for success.
Right. Yeah. You're their trainer.
It's kind of like,
we got to start with a routine.
This is what the workout's going to be this week. We're doing legs.
We're going to start easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not doing heavy back squats yet. Let's take it easy here.
Yeah.
Settle down. Okay. Is that number two?
That's number two. So the next one would be for an advisor. It's all about, so obviously you're learning as an advisor and you understand what's going on in the time. So it's sharing what's happening in your industry. Yeah, and being knowledgeable of that.
Be timely, relevant, knowledgeable.
Exactly. And stay on top of it. That would be my number one thing because that builds credibility. It also showcases like your culture in your, you know, as an advisor and to the your community that you're speaking to.
Yeah, I think it's an opportunity for you to share the lens at which you view insurance or the financial landscape. Disclaimer, obviously, if it's investment related in your securities license, you got to get compliance approval on all this type of stuff. Now, I would say the carve out opportunity is if you have specific outside business activities, all industry talk, but for those listening, outside business activity is stuff that I have filed and I have the approval to do independent of FINRA, SEC, broker dealer, whatever my affiliation would be from that regard. And that gives me a little more latitude. So long as I'm not talking about anything investment related, if I'm just talking about life insurance or I'm just talking about long-term care insurance, well, there's a whole layer of latitude and bandwidth that I do have to talk about. And what we discovered, maybe it's an area that many of my clients or prospects don't even associate me with.
Or no. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think the biggest thing of that is just to stay on top of times. Like if you watch podcasts that you watch, we're talking about relevant news.
Right.
The topics that are being talked about are not something that happened 20 years ago, unless they're using an analogy.
Or it's like a history podcast.
Well, there you go.
I'm kidding.
Okay. Number four would be engagement driven content. This is huge. And we're going to talk a little bit about this because there's some things that are out the door. And the biggest part of this, and for this is where being an advisor and being a person is going to kind of come into play. Mm-hmm. So whenever I find a really fun, yummy cocktail, I'm always going to send it to my best friend, Mel, because she loves making cocktails.
Right.
That's shareable content. Right.
I'm aware of that.
Or if I see a really cool place to go travel to, I'm going to send it to my husband because that's my hint that he needs to take me there one day.
Right.
So this type of content is shareable content. This is the best performing type of content. Now, I'm going to use a little fun with women right now. Right now, me, I'm 43. Everyone's telling me to take magnesium, to put the light on my face, to buy the cream, to obviously my feed's filled with this. Mm-hmm. And so every now and then I have three really good girlfriends, the four of us. We are just sending each other memes about going through perimenopause. We're talking about things that happen with our kids, the, you know, funny stuff about our husbands that we see. But we also share some of the serious stuff, too. And so this is content that you put right in front of your friends and family or those closest to you. And this tells the algorithm, this is important. So creating engageable content, something that someone's going to share or someone's going to save to go back to because it piqued their interest, but they don't have time to dive into it right now, or it's something they want to go back to and
What would that be for an advisor, though?
So, for this is kind of what
I did a little bit. Is it content that I'm creating that's shareable, or
yes.
It's okay?
Yeah. So it would be content that sparks meaningful conversations. So a big topic right now is like storytelling through your content. Mm-hmm. So you could even, you know, you and I could sit down and we could talk about like, well, recently my dad fell, and I've really have learned that long-term care is something my parents definitely missed the boat on.
Right.
So this is a conversation that could be had, you know, whether it's you that it's directly affected, or you could share like my client recently had to go through this.
Right.
And you don't have to use names. You don't have to use detail exactly, but right. Somebody else is going to relate to that.
The story
yeah. Itself. The other thing is like asking those questions we talked about, like people who come to you with like a lot of FAQs and things like that, those all can be content that's shareable. So you could say like, you know, Scott came to me and he was asking me about XYZ, and then you elaborate on it as a financial advisor, mm-hmm. and kind of talk through how you would with a customer if they're sitting in front of you on your social media.
Right. Got it.
Or you could host like a Q&A session.
Right.
You know, and we do a lot of that in stories. But build ways you can build relationships. Like you can even get in your car and set the phone up and you could vent. You could just be like, can you believe like this is happening? And as a financial advisor, I just would never suggest that to my clients. And this is why.
Right.
You know, something that just kind of creates this, you know, overall engagement. At the end of the day, think every time I always tell people it needs to be shareable content, something that I'm going to send my best friend.
Right.
So when you're filming something and you're not feeling that that's what your content feels like, think about how you can make it that way.
Got it. Very good advice.
The last thing is kind of capitalizing on the same thing as engagement, but authentic storytelling. So sharing personal, relatable stories, values, mission, you know, even expertise, because that definitely showcases all of that.
Right, right.
And again, that's all about
whatever you're comfortable
trust.
With. And I earlier on, I said, you know, what politics, religion aside,
right?
Fine on the surface, but I'll be honest, there's some who really want to lean into that. Mm-hmm. And who's to say that that's wrong? That's entirely your choice and your prerogative. I mean, at the end of the day, if I choose one path politically, I'm going to be half of the people are going to really like mm-hmm. what I have to say, and the other half are not.
It's going to create really It's going to create really good engagement, actually. Like sometimes I tell people bad comments are engagement. Like
right.
I comment back to trolls. I call them keyboard trolls. And I literally will comment back to them, thanks for the engagement.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But I will have to say controversial content is a thing.
Right.
So walk your line if you want to. Just know how to handle it.
Be deliberate and thoughtful.
Yeah.
And if you're going to do it,
do it. Like there's people who do edgy stuff. Like there's a big movement with like dropping swear words and all this stuff to like explain something.
Right.
Because it piques people's interest. It's got humor in it. You know, you but if that's your personality, do that. Don't, right. Like I said, raw, real, be you. Yeah. I found that like the more I share a lot of my point of views, like as a social media manager, this is what I did today. I mean, I film content of surgeons doing facial procedures. That's just, no one would guess that from the outside.
Do those respond well on social media?
Yeah.
Well,
so the more I talk about like,
so what you're, what I'm, if it's dramatic.
Yeah.
Then it's probably going to get a pretty good.
Here's a really good one. If you're a parent as a financial advisor, use your kids. Not have them in your videos, but use your life experiences with your kids. Mm-hmm. It's so relatable, especially in that demographic.
Right.
And it's just something that you can spin it. Use it as an analogy, you know, however you can. I changed the way I showed up. So forever, I was always promoting my business. And now I promote myself
right.
on social. And a lot of more of my engagements, obviously the funnier stuff I post. But I think sometimes I have a very fun personality. And so I like being funny or, you know, sometimes controversial.
Right.
And I really enjoy being able to share my life through my business. Mm-hmm. Do that. People find that real, authentic. That's going to create a connection,
right?
For sure. I was going to say the last part of that was, I think the biggest thing for financial advisors is credibility is going to be huge. The consistency and just create that shareable engagement.
Can we talk a little bit about video?
Yeah, let's do it.
What are some really down and dirty do's and don'ts? You already touched on a few, like. Let's get some basic equipment. Get a device that can hold your camera. Mm-hmm. Does it need to be on a professional camera? No. Obviously, professional content or camera. I would say depending on the circumstance.
Mm-hmm. They make really inexpensive vlog cameras now. They're becoming such a thing amongst the young kids. They're really cool.
Yeah.
They do. And they can even attach right to your phone and you can post it within minutes.
And then in your business, where do you play the role? What supports can you help an advisor who's like, I get it. I'm in. I'm just really not good or wanting to do video. Where do you play a role?
Yeah. Going back to the advisor that we're currently supporting, one of the things that I'm doing is I'm just really holding her hand as her friend through social because she doesn't speak the language I speak.
I would say as a coach and a consultant,
yeah.
That's probably what people need. Well, an expert. So somebody who's knowledgeable and experienced.
Yeah.
And really, I need you to be my coach and consultant initially. So kind of get me through the hard.
Right. And there's a ton of hurdles in the beginning. Once we get through that, kind of a goal is once we establish the cadence, then I kind of pick the brain of the expert and I find out what we're going to talk about. Mm. And a lot of times what makes it even easier is pick a topic, talk about it all week. And the way you can do that is you can just, you know, pretty much just dissect it,
right.
You know. The average, I think I've said this on a podcast before, the average person on social media has the education of a fifth grader.
Mm-hmm.
No fancy words.
Right.
The stuff that you react to is right there in front of you. And so that's exactly what we do is we kind of create like the topic and then we follow that cadence. And then I give the expectation to her of this is what I need you to film. This is what I'll handle for you. So I have been handling a lot of the template design and help brand because mm-hmm. that's definitely something that is my forte. And then when she sends me over the content that I've requested a week in advance, then I go in and I do all the editing and essentially I'm the one posting it until we're up and running and we're ready for the next phase for her to be like, okay, now I want to learn how to edit my videos. That may never happen.
Right.
So let's offer that. That's going to be a support thing. Or there are going to be advisors that are going to be way savvy and really, really know what they're doing and can record their own videos, but just need someone to tell them when to do it, how to do it, that type of thing.
Right.
So we can help with both.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the last things was, is I think there's a line between me as an individual advisor. I have a great practice. You know, I'm very successful, but I'm not necessarily on this enterprise level. I'm just Scott Heinola, financial advisor, and I've got my brand.
Right.
Let's just Heinola Advisors, right?
Right.
Versus the business, which many of your customers are going to be enterprise level businesses, mm-hmm. many staff, storefront, lots of employees, lots of customers, and that's probably different than how I would navigate the social media strategy.
Right. Well, so you have businesses that are actually qualified businesses on the social platform, and then you have advisors, which would be creators, and the algorithm favors creators. So businesses aren't doing as well on social media these days.
Okay.
And that's why they're utilizing influencers and UGCs, which is like user generated content by other experts posting content for them. Because what it is it's, that's great. Everyone knows Nike. No one really, you know, like maybe they'll see something that comes through, but a lot of their newer content you'll notice is a lot of other creators creating the content for them. And so that's the same thing for advisors is you'd be a creator. You'd be like what we call experts or coaches or, you know, something along those lines that's selling a service through their own personal brand. And just really optimizing your bio is going to be really important because that's all searchable. And just like any way, you know, in life, when you search something through Instagram or on Google or on your phone at all, your feed is going to be filled with it. And so when people are starting to ask questions or are looking for financial advice or like the information that, you know, you're spitting out, you're going to start to pop up in their feed. And so any words you use in your video as well as in your captions are all searchable keywords. So that is very important. So creators are essentially like what we used to call like an influencer, but those are kind of also not
what they used to be.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
It's fascinating how the business continues to evolve and change and adapt, which is another reason why advisors, if they're in this space, like it's hard to go it alone,
right?
Because things are ever evolving.
Well, and it's the social media really favors people as individuals because, or even couples, like there's people who are on there that are couples, like travel couples or things like that. But really what they want to see is they want to see something that at the end of the day is real. And something that they could, you know, connect with. And that's
okay. So if realistic. There's advisors that are looking, they've listened to this, they're like, I'm interested.
Yeah.
I'm interested in having a conversation, possibly leaning on AC Social to help me. What do they do?
I would absolutely reach out to me directly and let's set up a kind of what I call like a discovery call. I need to kind of get an idea of where you're at. What do you want to do? Are you the right person for this? Kind of like what we talked about. Because you kind of, not kind of, you need to be in.
Right.
Is this, knowing that you're going to have the support that you need to be in still. Yeah. Works both ways.
You'd be better off getting a no now
than
3, 4, 5, 6 months of this completely frustrated, wasted resources. And then you decide this isn't, I can't do this.
Yeah. Because again, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Yeah.
And that's part of our role in working with advisors, the area we call business throttle,
right,
which is really business development, marketing ideas and strategies. And a big part of what we need to do is really hone in with that advisor on who you are, what has been your previous experiences, successes and failures. What's your comfort level? What are you trying to accomplish long term? Who's your ideal client profile? In many cases, the thought is like, fill in the blank. I've been told this is the successful marketing thing that I need to be doing. And in many cases, that's just not a good fit for you.
Right.
And the question always is, does this work? Yes, the answer is everything works.
Right.
In the hands of the right fit, i.e. advisor, and if followed and executed properly.
Just like working out.
Just like working out. Exactly.
And I think the biggest thing to understand is that at the end of the day, it's not that hard. It's not as complicated as it used to be. A lot of things are streamlined in the app itself because they heard what the feedback was just like, okay, everyone's frustrated. You know, Instagram wants everyone. Facebook wants everyone to be on their platform. They don't want you to leave the platform. You know, and so I think the biggest thing is that as long as if you're willing to take and want your business to go to the next level, this is the best exposure you can get. And if anything, you're going to create a community, you're going to create confidence from doing it and building, you know, a new way to reach out to other people. It's just exposure at that point.
That's great.
I was going to go over, but I touched on it a little bit, was the shift of what's with, you know, like the way things have changed.
Okay, let's do that.
But I would just say the biggest thing right now is that...
Because that's more applicable to ones who are going it now.
Yeah.
And like, okay, maybe things aren't tracking the way they used to be and I should be aware of this shift. So
right.
What is this shift?
So the biggest thing is feed-based content has shifted. It's where posts are solely judged on likes. this is kind of a big deal, I guess, because some people have been on social media. You don't like everything you see.
Right.
I actually buy from people I never follow.
So wait a minute. You're favored if there are more likes or no. Likes don't mean anything?
You used to be.
You used to be, yeah.
Okay. Right. They were solely judged on likes. So the way that your feed came up. Now the shift emphasizes, it's like more immersive, right? So engaging, the shares, the importance of your video itself. So the more shares and comments you have, the more engagement you have, the algorithm sees that as important content.
So me as consumer, is that also what's predicating what I'm now going to see more of?
Absolutely.
Got it.
Yeah. So shares are impressions. We talked about that a little bit earlier. Storytelling, best type of content. Okay. People getting on and talking with their face, number one. People walking around making their cup of coffee, that's what we call B-roll content, kind of like behind the scenes or, you know, that was a really good way to get people to get confident in being on film. It's not as great. People don't read things as much anymore. They need to be hooked right away.
So what I would say is me advisor regularly posting an image of me or my family or something like that. And then below that is a bunch of language and verbiage and content. That's probably not doing me much.
No, but every now and then it'll do fine.
Yeah, as a filler.
Yeah.
But should not be the, mm-mm. Yeah, got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I would say that, community-driven content. So that would be anything that creates and sparks conversations. Mm-hmm. That's definitely top of the line.
Another big one for me, an advisor, share how you're getting out into the community. If you're involved in a charity, as an example, share that, post that, you know, those
or groups that they can follow or, you know, even offering expertise. Like for me, a lot of times when people are learning how to edit their videos, there's an app you can learn how to edit videos on. So I'd share that with them.
Groups would be a great idea.
Groups is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
And community content just gets you more reach.
Right.
You know, and offer to be a speaker or join a Q&A with somebody else and vice versa. Hold a Q&A with, you know, an expert in your industry that's lateral to you or maybe a topic you want to discuss or, you know, even having other, you know, people on there that do the same thing as you do, but just the more you can collaborate and create that community, it's so much better.
Yeah, understand. Okay.
The last thing would be the metrics. The metrics have changed quite a bit. That's something that I definitely look at when I audit your platform, just to see what you've been doing and that type of thing. But for financial advisors, because they are kind of analytical, I think that's something that's really important to understand. And it shows you what you're doing and how you're performing and if it's working. Mm-hmm. And before it was all about likes and, you know, who's following you. Follows are just dead in the water. Mm-hmm. It's all about like, did you watch time? Like, do you ever see how long a video's been watched? You post a video, it can tell you how long.
Oh, right.
Let's just say I post a 15-second video, it's been watched 5 hours. So that's a metric that's really important. And then shares are huge. So that would be, those would be the biggest ones for a financial advisor for sure.
And how do they reach out to you? Social media.
Yeah, social media is the best at AC Social Designs.
DM you.
Or DM me, yeah, or email.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Cheers. Thank you for coming
in. Thanks for having me.
We're off to the Female Insurance Symposium.
Yes. It's going to be great.
Stay tuned.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. Please subscribe, like, share, leave a comment, or review. Be sure to check us out on social media at Optimized Advisor Podcast. Till next time.